Well, it's a producer group who produce for Angus Soft Fruits. And we're basically there to provide the technical services to them, the agronomy and the technical and quality side of things.
In Tasmania, we normally associate the name Angus with beef.
Yeah, well, it's actually from the same region, the origin of the beef breed, or the Aberdeen Angus. It's from that whole Aberdeen and Angus region, and we're just as renowned for our berry production.
How big is your company in the context of the UK soft fruit industry?
We're probably the fourth or fifth biggest, but we would be the biggest in Scotland. The business has about a £65 million turnover year-round. And half of that's from the home season. But as you know, with the retailers in Europe, you know, it's all about year-round supply. So we're also importing.
Yeah. So you've got a situation now where four fruits at least, you've got them 12 months of the year.
Yes.
You can source them.
Yeah.
What about blueberries in Scotland, the timing of the season with growers? They really get to reap the benefits, don't they, because of their timing?
Yeah, it's pretty much the last country in the Northern Hemisphere to ripen. Give or take Norway, that just gives growers a really good chance to come in after the European market's kind of finished. And I think we're hoping to do the same with cherries.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you about cherries and cherry production in the UK. How big is it at the moment?
I think in the season there would be about 6,000 or 7,000 tonnes maybe coming from the south of England. And from Scotland, just a sliver of a few tonnes, a handful. There's probably only about 5 hectares in Scotland in total.
So in the context of what we produce in Australia, not nearly as big?
No, I think there's a long way to go. And I think the demand's increasing, as well as trying to fill that late season niche where there's no supply available at the moment.
UK cherries exported to other parts of Europe, or is it just the domestic market that soaks it all up?
Yeah, I think the main thing with our berry and I think the cherries as well is that it's all for home market production, or 99% of it is. We've got a big home market when it's in season, and the consumers really love that.
Our guest on the Country Hour, Jan Redpath, Senior Technical Manager with Angus Soft Fruits in Scotland. Jan's a Nuffield Scholarship winner and is in Tasmania to look at the cherry industry. Jan, I'm intrigued by the number of cherry varieties that are being developed in Europe.
We're probably on the edge of a bit of a proliferation, and I think that'll give really good opportunities to growers, but not just from Europe, you know, from other breeding programs in general. I think people are really looking for late and early season opportunities and varieties that can help to extend that season. So for our niche, we'll be looking particularly at what late season varieties are going to come out of various programs.
In Europe, you have some pests and diseases to overcome growing cherries. You have one of them that we don't have here at the moment and hope we never get, the cherry fruit fly.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, the Drosophila suzukii is in Europe, and I think it's endemic in most of the world now. You're very lucky here. I think you have a big fear factor with something new. Our growers had a big fear factor, but I think when it does actually become established, you maybe get to the stage 5 or 10 years down the line where it's just another pest, and there are ways of dealing with it. And I think that's the thing we've got to hope for.
What do you know about the Tasmanian cherry industry?
Well, I know that you've got a very protected status because of your phytosanitary health. I know that you've also got another advantage because it's late season production relative to the rest of Australia. And both those things put together are giving you a really good opportunity in the Asian markets.
What about the sort of best practice you're looking to see here?
Yeah, what I've picked up particularly here is alternative methods of covering the crop. So obviously rainfall is one of our big challenges, but the methods that we could use for protecting from the rain at the moment would have the drawback of just pulling the crop a little bit earlier at the same time, and we want to do all we can to avoid that while covering from rain.
Talking berries in Scotland, how are they grown? Are they grown in tunnels?
All the berries are.
Yeah. All the berries.
Yeah. We're not overly wet. We're not as bad as people think we are when they come to visit and they think, oh, it rains all the time. But I think the weather patterns in the last 6 or 8 years have been probably more like 700 to 900 millimetres rain, whereas before that on the East Coast, we would have been having decade averages around 650 mil a year when I was younger.
On your travels, where have you been so far?
I've been in Chile via Argentina, and I've been in Central Otago in South Island, New Zealand.
What did you learn about Chile?
Well, I was actually on South America's southernmost cherry farm, and I learned of what they are doing for the late season market. It's very different to here in terms of, you know, they're sea freighting everything, which I guess means that they're delivering cherries onto the market several weeks after the season's finished here. But they admit themselves that Tasmania has, you know, the best reputation for quality in the markets that they're trying to supply. So I guess that's about how, you know, the quality on farm as well as the fact that you air freight it so it's fresher.
They have an advantage with labour costs. What are labour costs like in the UK?
Well, it's only going one way. and until I came here, I thought we were pretty much the highest labour cost going. But I understand it's much more of a challenge here. Something along the lines of highest labour cost in the world, just about, for picking, if I'm not mistaken, here.
Do you utilise backpackers?
No, it's kind of it's student labour from recent EU accession countries, such as Romania and Bulgaria predominantly. And so they come over for the picking season, which is now 7 months, really, the strawberry season in particular.
Talking investment, and we talk a lot about investment in the Tasmanian cherry industry and the berry industry indeed. Is there investment money for the expansion of the cherry industry in the UK?
Yeah, there are various ways of obtaining funding to try and help with the infrastructure investment, you know, for example, the covering and the setup costs. But as with most of the rest of the horticulture industry, there's no subsidisation of any kind, which makes it different to the mainstream agriculture.
And what about the plans for the growth of the UK cherry industry? Where would you like to see it, say, 10 years from now?
I think 10 years from now, really seeing the north of the country helping to fill that late season gap. But I do also think that there are early season opportunities for the growers in the south to come in before the peak of the season, and I'm sure they're looking at that as well. So like everywhere, it's probably about season extension, and 10 years from now we would have a longer season.
Something like 1,000 tonnes a week are consumed in the UK at the height of the season.
Yeah.
So that could double, that could treble.
Yeah, I mean, I think as well as the early and late seasons, you know, extension, the growth in demand is happening anyway. So for those producing in the middle of the season, there's going to be an organic growth. You know, I don't know if that's double digit. It probably is, you know, 10, 15, 20% a year. So there are opportunities even for the guys in the south to expand what they're doing, I'm sure.